Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Lizzie Goes Brains Over Brawn by Jacinda Wilder, narrated by Summer Roberts. Chapter 1. I was cruising through Malibu on a hands-free call with the owners of a home I'd just finished showing to prospective buyers.
"Tell me you have good news about the showing, Lizzie."
This was Jerry, the owner. "The best news, they're offering 8.25 with a 30-day close, furnished." A breath of relief.
"You are pure magic, Lizzie Stevenson."
"I don't know about that, Jerry. I'm just good at my job. It's why you hired me, after all."
"Is this a formal offer?"
"I'm on the way to the office to write it up as we speak."
"I'll be waiting for your email, then."
His relief and happiness at my news were palpable. They were mortgaged to the hilt, and this sale at this price was going to free up a lot of cash flow for them. "You should have it in half an hour or so." We exchanged goodbyes, and I made it to my office, pulled into my named personal parking space behind my adorable little Malibu storefront office. Inside, there were 6 desks, a white leather couch, a coffee and tea station, several large TVs playing a sequence of nature stills. 4 of the desks were occupied. Zoe, Autumn, Teddy, and Kat were all at their desks doing what I presumed was somewhere between working and perusing social media. Laurel had back-to-back showings today and was due back in an hour or so. Zoe and Autumn were sisters, separated by a little less than a year and a half, what some called Irish twins, and often were mistaken for identical twins. They looked up at me in unison.
"Well?" Zoe asked.
"Spill," Autumn said immediately afterward. Teddy was more laconic about her curiosity, leaning back in her chair, content to wait and listen, while Kat feigned disinterest, pretending to be just totally absorbed by her computer screen. I decided to draw it out. I sauntered in, purse hanging from my elbow, and fixed myself a cup of coffee. I took a ridiculously long time to add sweetener, nearly going grain by grain, and then almond milk drop by drop, and then stirring it with excessive care.
"Oh my God!" Kat exploded. "Just tell us already! Did you sell it?"
I held my mug in both hands, keeping my face straight for as long as I could, which wasn't long.
8.25, bitches!
There were friendly groans from Kat and Teddy, with whom I had an ongoing 3-way competition, and squeals of delight from Autumn and Zoe.
"You suck," Kat muttered. "Just wait till I sell the Fraser place."
"There's no way the Fraser house is going for anywhere close to 8.25, Kat," I said, stopping to pat her on top of her head. "Sorry, babe, but if you get even a full 8, I'll be surprised. 7.95 is my guess." She held up her middle finger without looking at me.
"Sit on it, Lizzie."
She said it with a smirk, though.
"Because guess what? I just listed Calder. It's at 9.3. It's been up for less than 4 hours, and I've already had a call to schedule a showing."
I snorted. 9.3 is stupid for that. It's got a shit view, it's under 6,000 square feet, and it's got no wow. It'll sit for 6 months, and you'll get 7. She added another middle finger.
"You just hate me. Admit it."
I mussed her long, glossy black hair as if she were an adorable toddler, or something. I don't know, kids.
"I don't hate you. I just like to challenge you. That's why I gave you the Calder house, to test your skills."
She batted at my hands, shot to her feet, and scurried to the ornate mirror on the wall.
"Of course, you know this means war," she said,
fixing her hair strand by strand. Then, acting as casual as can be, she walked toward me, revenge in her eyes. "If you touch my hair, Katya Spears," I said, backing away, "I swear I'll give you all the worst listings for the rest of the year."
"Yeah, because you're more of a priss about your hair than I am," she said, still angling for me.
I backed myself into a corner, and then picked up the first thing my hand found, a red swingline stapler.
"I'll staple your face," I snapped, "and then what will you do?"
I was bluffing, though, and she knew it, because she advanced with a grin, hands up, clawed, lunged, and when I moved to block her, she faked one way and then the other, and then her hands shot through my defenses and pawed roughly at my hair. "Revenge is a bitch," she said, satisfied, "and so am I." I glared at her. "You're not getting any listings over two now, I hope you realize." I moved to the mirror and attempted to return my blonde hair to the artful waves and loose curls. "Do you have any idea how long it took me to get my hair to look like that?" Kat stuck her tongue out at me. "That's because you have no volume, boo. You have to fake it." "I have to write up this offer," I said, waltzing to my desk, sitting with what I hoped was elegant grace. The desks of the other five girls were arranged around the room, all facing the center, and mine was against the storefront in the focus of the space, since I was the broker and I'd started the firm. Everyone had two chairs in front of their desks, so clients could come and discuss options and sign paperwork as necessary. But my desk was just that much bigger and nicer, and the chairs in front of my desk were replica Louis XV chairs. By this point, with the show over, the other girls had gotten back to work. In short order, I had the offer written up and sent off to the Crenshaws to sign, so I could then send it to Jerry and Leanne. I'd had the offer drawn up for days, having had an inkling that the Crenshaws would want this one. I just had to fill in the numbers. I was getting paid two ways on this deal to boot. I was the buyer's agent for the Crenshaws and the seller's agent for Jerry and Leanne. Laurel breezed in, dressed to the nines as she always was, her naturally platinum blonde hair in a tight chignon, Chanel purse hanging off her elbow, Louboutins clicking down the steps from the back entrance, her cell phone to her ear as she worked on closing a deal. "Murph, listen. No, Murph, it's worth it. It is. I know it needs some reno, but that's exactly what you said you wanted. Not a fixer-upper, but something you could put your thumbprint on. The bones are there. You know they are. It's exactly what you said you wanted. In the neighborhood you specified, in your price range. At the top, albeit, with good bones, a great view, and potential for upgrade. You're waffling, Murphy. Okay, well, you're not going to find anything else in that specific area for anything less than six. Trust me, I know. There are precisely three other properties for sale in a 10-mile radius of the house I just showed you, and of them, only one is listed for under $6 million, and that one is a total gut job. Like, complete gut, down to studs and subfloor, knocking out walls, replumbing, rewiring, new roof. It's nearly a knockdown and rebuild. You're just paying for the land, location, and view. If you want that neighborhood, Murph, that's your house. I have another showing there tomorrow at noon, so you have until, say, 10 tomorrow morning to put in an offer. I won't cancel with those clients at the last minute, so get your shit in gear and give me a number. Ballbuster, man. Granted, this guy Murphy was one of her oldest friends, and someone she's sold at least one other property to that I know of. But still, she was a ballbuster. She was in the center of the room, listening, eyes closed, silently chewing on her lower lip. And then her eyes flew open, and she clenched her empty fist in victory, dancing in a circle. "Okay," she said, her voice level and cool as a cucumber. "They're asking 5.25, but they haven't had any offers yet, so you could go in at 5 even, if you're willing to go up closer to full asking. Okay, I'll send it over. Give me 5 minutes. Okay, talk soon." She ended the call, demurely placed her phone into her bag, and then began dancing a gleeful little jig, as well as she could in 3-inch heels and a crazy tight miniskirt. "Boom, bitches, top that." She swept her pointer finger around the room. "Boss lady already did top it," Zoe said, without looking up from her computer. 8.2. "God damn it," Laurel huffed, rolled her eyes. "You are such a chronic overachiever, you know that, Lizzie? Buzzkill." We were often mistaken for sisters, though we weren't.
of a height, both with naturally platinum hair, similar bone structure, similar builds, and even our eyes were close in shade, hers grayish-blue, while mine were a swirl of blue and green. "I'm the boss for a reason," I said, "but good job. Let's get these offers out because I'm feeling like it's wine 30. "Isn't it always?" Autumn asked. "No, not until the work is done." I pointed at my computer. "I have to send this signed offer over to the sellers, and then we can tackle the rest tomorrow." Laurel was already sitting down, filling out the necessary portions of the offer form. There was little talk for a good half an hour then, as we all wrapped up our day's work. I emailed both seller and buyer, saying we'd sort out the rest of the process tomorrow, as long as everyone has signed the offer. I received the signed offer from the sellers, which meant we were pending. A few last odds and ends, and then I put my laptop to sleep, stuffed it into my messenger bag along with a few folders of important documents, and stood up. "Well, are we all ready?" I looked around at my girls. "I need a glass of wine." We almost always met for a drink after work, so it was a foregone conclusion that everyone was in. Except there was hesitation. I hadn't wanted to point it out, because I'd wanted to thank my five best friends in the world, my co-workers, employees, sisters from other misters, would remember that today was my birthday, my 40th birthday, no less. All I really wanted was a glass of wine with my best bitches. And here they were trading meaningful glances, as if referring to some conversation that hadn't included me. "Am I missing something?" I asked. Kat approached me. "We're not going for drinks tonight, Liz." "We're not?" She moved behind me. "Hold still." Her hands grabbed my shoulders, holding me in place. "Nope, we're kidnapping you." "Why would you do that? You could just tell me what's going on." "Where's the fun in that?" Before I could protest, she had a blindfold around my eyes and was tying it. "How many fingers am I holding up?" "How the hell should I know? You put a blindfold on me." I snorted. "Knowing you, just one, your middle." I felt a breath of air as someone moved in front of me. "I can't see a thing, all right, for real." "Good." Kat turned me around. "Now march. We're going to the back door." I knew where I was in the room and had more than once navigated the room in near pitch dark, so I headed confidently toward where I knew the back door to be. My toes found the steps, and I followed the handrail up, trailed my fingers along the exposed brick wall to the door, and then waited. "Now what?" I asked. I felt Kat move past me. I knew it was her by her perfume, Chanel. "Now?" She took my hand and led me outside. "We party." I heard a diesel engine clattering. "Is that a party bus?" "Sure is." I heard a noise that I thought might be a bus door opening. "Hiya, Bill. You ready for this? Because we're fixin' to tear this town apart, baby. Up we go, Lizzie." Step, 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 and the noise of the engine was muted, and I felt leather seats on either side of me, and then Kat guided me to sit on a plush, deep, comfy leather seat. "Why do I have to be blindfolded for this? I don't know where we're going, so what difference does not being able to see make?" "Oh, no reason. We just thought it would be fun to blindfold you." Kat was smirking. I could hear it. "Leave it on. It's more fun." "Fine," I snorted, "but it's dumb." "You're dumb." She put a bottle into my hands. "Drink." "From the bottle?" "Hell yes, from the bottle. You're turning 40, bitch. We're doing this upright. You didn't think we forgot, did you?"
I was starting to wonder. The rest of the girls were on the bus by now, filling it with overlapping chatter. I touched the bottle to my nose, sniffed. Tequila.
"Oh, hell no," I yelled, shoving it away. "You know what happened the last time I got tequila wasted. I'm not going there again."
"It was the funniest night of my life, is what happened," Teddy said. "Drink up, boo. We're getting you lit."
"Tequila wasted Lizzie is a walking disaster," I said, feeling my resolve weakening. "Also, I haven't eaten lunch or dinner.
you better be ready to babysit me.
We have the bus, and the driver, Bill, has been promised a hefty tip for being willing to help carry you into your house at the end of the night.
I have work to do tomorrow, I protested. I can't be out of commission. You're under contract. You have no showings. Laurel got her offers in, so she's pending as well. Yes, we turned off the lights. Yes, we locked the door.
This was Autumn on my left.
Just cut loose a little, Lizzie. We have a lot of fun planned.
Are there strippers?
There better not be strippers. The last male stripper you hired tried to get me to pay him to blow him.
No, no strippers. We learned that lesson, Zoe answered for the group on that one. Also, I got an up-close and personal look at what he was packing under that G-string, and let me tell you, I can see why he would charge for the honor. It was like, whoa.
I took a tentative sip of the tequila. Patron, baby. Another, heftier swig.
Chaser, chaser, oh my God, wow!
Somebody put a cold, sweating can into my hand, and I fumbled at the rim, checking to make sure it was open, and then took a long swig. Light beer.
Are you trying to kill me? Tequila chased with beer on an empty stomach?
We're eating soon, Autumn said, and then paused. I heard her swallow, hiss. Also, Zoe, how exactly did you manage to see the stripper's pee-pee? I asked. Did you pay him for it?
She didn't answer immediately. No. Maybe.
You did. You paid him to suck him off. I was shrieking already. Drunk Lizzie is loud. Tequila drunk Lizzie is deafening. And I'd barely had any.
I did not, Zoe shrieked back. I paid him to get it hard and show me what it looked like. I didn't touch him.
Zoe, that's mean, Teddy laughing. You got him hard and then left him that way? Have you no mercy?
Not when it was going to cost me $25. And besides, who knows if he was clean or how many diseases he had. No way. A random dude at a bar, maybe. A stripper slash prostitute? No way. I was just curious.
He was big? I asked, remembering how well the guy in question had filled out the tiny little red G-string. Zoe snickered.
Yeah, huge. Biggest dick I've ever seen in real life.
She lowered her voice.
I honestly don't know if I would have slept with him if he was a guy I just randomly hooked up with. There is such a thing as too big. He'd have ripped me in half from stem to stern, and there was no way I could have gotten my jaw around that monster. No way.
Bullshit, I heard Teddy say. I don't think dicks that big exist.
I actually have a pic of it, Zoe said, sounding embarrassed. I paid $5 extra for him to let me take a picture, for, research purposes.
And by research, you mean diddling your bean? Kat asked.
No! Zoe shrieked at a glass-shattering pitch and volume.
Admit it, Autumn said. You use it to jill off. You know it, I know it, we all know it.
More to the point, show us the photo.
This was Teddy again.
No, it's private, Zoe said, sounding prim. He made me promise I wouldn't spread it around.
Zoe, shut the hell up and show us the photo. You're not posting it on the internet, you dumb bitch. You're showing your sister and best friends.
This was Autumn.
Fine, Zoe sighed. I ripped off the blindfold and saw my girls around me. The seats black leather, the Pacific on our right, which meant we were heading south. Everyone was gathered around Zoe, who was searching through her photo library.
Ha, here it is.
She tapped the thumbnail, and we all clustered closer.
Holy shit, Kat drawled. You weren't kidding, girl.
She certainly had not been exaggerating. The photo showed a chest, groin area, cutting off at the knees. The dick in question was colossal, truly insanely colossal. How is that real? I asked, dumbfounded. And how the hell is it supposed to fit inside a normal female vagina?
Right? Zoe was giggling. In person, it's even bigger. The photo doesn't do it justice. It would have taken both hands to get all the way around it. It would be like giving a hand job to a salami, like the big ones you see hanging from the ceiling at the butcher's.
I wonder if he's done porn, Kat asked. That's what I would have asked.
I did ask, Zoe said, giggling even more breathlessly. He said he's trying to get into it, which is why he's in L.A. in the first place. Apparently, just having a six-pack and a monster cock doesn't make you a shoo-in at high-dollar porn studios.
Weird. What else would you need? Autumn said. It's not like porn stars can actually act.
I don't know, Kat said. I've seen some with decent acting.
Zoe eyed Kat.
And how much porn are you watching there, babe?
Enough, Kat said, her voice arch. A girl has needs, and let me tell you, the dating pool is slim pickings these days.
Dating pool? I said with a frustrated sigh. It's not even a pool, it's a damn puddle. I swear, I've dated every halfway attractive male between the ages of 25 and 50 in a 150-mile radius.
I looked around as we approached the outskirts of L.A.
Where the hell are we going, anyway?
We are going to my favorite dive bar, Kat said. I know the owner, and I had him call all his single buddies and offer them dollar beer night, so we'll have a lot of eye candy to party with.
She wiggled her eyebrows at me.
And you never know, we might even get you lucky tonight.
I took another sip, stifling a laugh. No, no, no. When I sleep with a man, he's the one getting lucky. I happen to be damn good in the sack, I'll have you know.
Nobody calls it the sack anymore, Teddy said, laughing. Showing your age, babe.
She took the bottle from me.
And I think you better hold off until we get some food in you. You're already getting tipsy.
I told you, I shrieked. Tequila, beer, and no food? You guys are in trouble.
I pointed around at my friends. Do not let me get naked tonight. And for sure, no drunk hookups. I'm so tired of drunk hookups.
Kat smirked.
I make no promises.
At that moment, we pulled up in front of a dive bar on the outskirts of L.A. A true dive. A tattoo parlor was on one side, still open, and a pawn shop on the other. The door was propped open with a big silver keg, and bodies moved inside. Lights flashed, music pumped. I eyed Kat.
Are you sure this place is safe? It looks kinda sketchy.
She cackled.
Hell no, it's not safe. But I'm buddies with the owner, Hector, and nobody fucks with Hector.
She danced in her seat as the driver of the party bus parked a few spots down from the bar.
Hector makes the most bomb margaritas I've ever had in my life. He promised me he'd make us a legit bucketful, and also tacos. There's a tiny little kitchen in the back, and if he likes you, Hector will get his wife to make tacos for you. And that woman makes tacos I would do a murder for.
Do a murder for? I slowly reached out and took the bottle of Patron away from her. I think you've had enough. I swirled the clear liquor. It was almost gone.
Holy shit! The six of us killed a fifth of Patron in less than an hour.
You haven't had Hector's wife's tacos or Hector's margaritas. They make you forget how to grammar. She stood up.
Ladies, it's time to celebrate our best friend and our beloved boss as she turns 40.
She took the bottle and finished it off.
We sure did kill this son of a bitch, didn't we? Well, we're just getting started. Let's get naked wasted and make bad decisions.
No! I stood up and tugged my skirt down. I'm not getting naked wasted. I almost got a ticket for public indecency the last time I got tequila wasted.
Kat gestured out the bus windows. Does this look like the kind of area where you'd get arrested for taking your shirt off? Knowing Hector and his buddies, they'll cheer you on and then beat up anyone who tries to take a photo. They'll absolutely enjoy the show, but they won't be assholes about it.
She sashayed toward the front of the bus.
Trust me, old lady. Have I ever let you down?
I cackled, following her.
You're a terrible influence, and you're going to get me in trouble. Lead the way.
There was laughter and clapping and cheering from my friends as we exited the bus. We had pre-partied pretty hard, and I had a feeling tonight was going to be a night to remember. Or, knowing how we all got on tequila, a night to forget.
Chapter 2.
Oh, God, if I eat another taco, I'm gonna barf, I said, pushing back from the table. So good, so full.
Quitter, Teddy said, stuffing the last of a taco into her mouth.
7, 8, I don't even know. These were not small tacos either.
Best tacos I've ever had. I'm gonna gain 10 pounds to my ass and thighs from eating so many. But fuck, so good. Worth it.
I'll just drag you to Zumba and we can dance our asses off, literally, Kat said, polishing off another taco herself.
Teddy made the sign of the cross. Begone, Satan! Exercise is from El Diablo, and I categorically refuse to do it.
Wanna know my secret? Lots and lots of very athletic sex, Laurel quipped. Or at least I figured it was a quip. With Laurel, you never knew.
And walking. I walk every night. I put in my earbuds, and I turn on an audiobook, and I walk. And squeeze my butt cheeks a lot. Firms them up.
That's exercise, Kat said, droll.
No, it's just walking. I don't even get warm, Laurel answers, dead serious. I don't like to get sweaty and out of breath unless there's a dick inside me.
Just asking for a friend here, I said, tracing my finger through salt on the rim of my margarita glass, which had not been empty at any point in the evening, which was beginning to wane into night. But what counts as athletic sex? I mean, I like to think I get it on like Donkey Kong, but I'm not sure what constitutes as athletic.
Ever try the wheelbarrow?
Laurel smirked at me. That'll get you sweaty real fast.
I blinked.
The wheelbarrow?
Yeah, just what it sounds like.
Laurel took a long drink from her margarita.
He's standing up, holding your legs, your face down with your hands braced on the floor, and he's drilling you while you hold yourself up. Takes a lot of upper body strength.
She snorted, giggled.
Unless you just do like a headstand sort of move, but the angle's better if you hold yourself up.
Sounds hard, I said. Why would you do that? How is it any better than prone bone on a bed?
Because, Laurel answered, pointing a finger at me. And I wasn't sure if it was her finger wavering or my eyesight, or both.
Because of geometry. He can hold your legs wider apart, for one thing, and for another, it's just a different angle. The dick feels different. I don't know. You just have to try it to understand.
Wow, I snickered. Just wow.
What?
Laurel shrugged, her expression demure and arch.
I like fun fucking.
Zoe spluttered around a mouthful of margarita, caught it in a napkin, shaking with laughter.
Fun fucking?
Also known as adventure sex.
Laurel handed Zoe another napkin.
Although the two are slightly different, fun fucking is weird positions, like pretty much 90% of the Kama Sutra.
And what, pray tell, is adventure sex? Autumn asked. Inquiring minds would like to know.
Anything risky, Laurel answered. In the bathroom of a bullet train in Japan, or under the bleachers at your nephew's football game, or hand jobs under a table at a black tie gala.
I set my glass down slowly.
You have not.
Let's make that a game of two truths and a lie, Laurel said. I've done two of those.
Teddy stabbed a finger at Laurel.
I know for a fact you don't have a nephew. And also, that's gotta be, like, illegal.
How in the hell did you manage it in the bathroom of a bullet train? Zoe asked. Those things are not large.
That was both risky and athletic.
She smirked, bit her lip with a lecherous gleam in her eye.
It required careful timing to get both of us in there at the same time without anyone noticing. And then he leaned back against the wall, and I squatted on his knees and basically twerked myself to an O on him. Tricky, but worth it.
I had no idea you were so kinky, Autumn said.
Laurel held up a finger. It's not kinky. Kink is like bondage and S&M and foot fetishes and furries. I just like fun positions in fun places.
Like the back of a Volkswagen? I quoted.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?